Well, welcome everybody. So thankful that you're here today to worship with us. And before we go any further, I want to stop though and say a word about last weekend. I don't know if you guys were here or not, but last weekend, both the weekend for our students and then God using Clayton King, man, we just had a moment as a Pine Lake family where over last weekend, over 500 people responded and said yes to Jesus in some way with their lives. And I just didn't want to go past that today without stopping and saying thank God for his presence with us last weekend. Come on, can you just praise God and give him thanks for that incredible, incredible time. Now, here's how I want to shepherd your heart today. That was a moment. That was amazing, right? And that's why I love having Clayton come here. God's given him anointing to call us to that kind of response. That's a moment that we had, but my desire is that you not live by moment to moment with big valleys in between, right? These big highs. My prayer is that somehow you would be a part of a spiritual movement where every day you're experiencing the nearness and the grace of God moment by moment. So not these big moments, but every day your life is on movement. Now, one of the ways God does that in this journey is he teaches you how to pray. He teaches you what it looks like to spend time with him every day, all day, and he teaches you how to pray. Now, the month of February, we call it P28 this year, leap year, P28 plus one. It's just 28 days, 29 days this year, where we're just gonna ask God to teach us what it looks like to pray. Now, for the month of February, we're going to be in the book of Daniel. So if you have a Bible, you can open up in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. We're going to be in chapter 2 in a minute. But Daniel is a guy who learned to pray. Now, the most famous story about Daniel is Daniel in the what? In the lion's den, right? He's in the lion's den. But do you remember why Daniel got thrown into the lion's den? He got thrown into the lion's den for praying. Praying to God. They outlawed prayer, and he said, I can't help it. I'm praying three times a day anyway. We'll talk about that next week. But Daniel was a man who prayed, and prayer got him into the lion's den. But if you know the story, you know that prayer also got him out of the lion's den, that he prayed to the God who could shut the mouth of the lion and get him through and come through for him. And so Daniel was a man who is famous for the lion's den, and so we want to learn to pray like Daniel with a holy roar. Okay, with a holy roar. I want you to learn to pray like Daniel in such a way that God hears and heaven moves and earth shakes. I did a little bit of research. I'd heard this before, but I had to look it up on the internet, right? And so apparently when a lion roars in Africa, you can hear that roar 5 miles away. As a matter of fact, if you're too close to it, it can damage your hearing. But more than just hearing the lion's roar, what I understand is that you actually feel it. It shakes the ground and it reverberates in your chest. That's the idea, that somehow whenever you begin to pray, your prayers offered in your car on the way to work, at your desk at school, in the privacy of your own room at home, that somehow that roar goes to heaven and begins to shake things on earth. Y'all feel me? Y'all with me? That's the idea. God wants you to pray like Daniel. And some of you here are needing a miracle. And this P28, man, it's another miracle, but you need a miracle. Come on, anybody need a miracle? Man, you need God to move. Something that only God can do. Maybe you're praying you'll win the Powerball lottery. And I want you to know I'm praying with you for that. If you will tithe, I think God should give you all that money, right? Some of you are praying for a mate or a date, and some of your friends are thinking it would take God to be able to do that maybe. We're needing a miracle, man. Maybe you're praying that somehow somebody's heart would be changed and they would accept your offer on a business deal. Or maybe you're praying for a healing. Or maybe you're praying for sobriety. Maybe you're praying for God to do a resurrection work in a marriage relationship. Or maybe you're praying for our world and our nation to be at peace. Those are things that only God can do. I don't know if you remember, but last summer was very dry. We were in a once in a century drought. And from July on, it was like there was no rain. Last August was especially dry and hot, and on a Tuesday afternoon, Pam Deer, a member of our church, came into a meeting at the church, and in tears, she said to a group of us, "We need y'all to pray. If it doesn't rain on our crops in the next couple of days, we're going to have a 100% loss." And so we bowed our heads, and we prayed for God to send rain. because Andy and Pam Deere needed a miracle. Well, in Daniel 2, Daniel needs a miracle. If you don't know the book of Daniel is about the people of God who have been sent away into exile, into a country called Babylon. Think modern day Iraq. So from Israel, they're sent to Iraq. And the reason they're sent there is because they had repeatedly run from God. Now that doesn't happen, does it? Of course it does. Even today, people run from God, and God sent prophet after prophet to tell them, y'all better wake up, stop doing that, turn back to God. But they wouldn't listen, and so God put them in time out. He sends the Babylonians, led by a king named Nebuchadnezzar, to basically overrun them. And many of them lost their lives. Many of them, if they surrendered to the Babylonians, like God told Jeremiah to tell them to do, because the prophet Jeremiah said, you're not going to win this. The only hope you have is to surrender to the plan of God and go surrender to the Babylonians. Those who did were exiled back to Babylon, including some of the smartest and brightest of the high school and college kids. Okay, so if you're in high school or college, listen to me. The book of Daniel is about kids your age. Don't tell me, you know, one day I'll get serious about my faith. Bro, you better be locked down now. And Daniel's about these, Daniel and three of his buddies who get carried away to Babylon, entered into the king's school where everybody's acting a fool, losing their religion, and yet Daniel and his three boys say, we're not doing that. We're going to live distinctively, differently than anybody else, and God honored it. He made them smarter than everybody else in their class and elevated them to positions of leadership in Babylon. They became wise men. It's amazing how God was honoring them. But one day, the king of Babylon, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. He dreamed dreams. It was like a recurring nightmare that he was really bothering him. Have y'all ever had recurring nightmares? Anybody have a recurring nightmare? Maybe you're in the mud and you can't get out and somebody's chasing you, or you can't find your clothes and, you know, you're embarrassing, or you're late for a meeting. I used to have a recurring nightmare about a rabbit that had knives on its front feet. And my therapist and I are working that through, but just know there was this recurring nightmare that as a little kid, it would scare me to death to see that picture in my mind at times. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's having this recurring dream, and he's anxious and he's troubled about this dream. And so he demands that his wise men, the smart people in his country, the counselors, hey, tell me what my dream is, and then tell me the interpretation. And if you don't, I'm going to kill all of you. Now, have any of you ever had a spouse have a bad dream about you, and they wake up and they're mad at you as if you really did it? And you're like, it was a dream. I wasn't even there. I've been here the whole time. Anybody, don't look at them, they'll slap you right now. But it happens sometimes, doesn't it? That's how the wise men feel. Nebuchadnezzar's had this nightmare and he says, I'm about to kill y'all. And they're like, what in the world, dude? What is going on? They say, look, just tell us the dream. We'll tell you the interpretation. But the king's smart. He says, no, if I tell you the dream, you might lie to me. And so for me to know you're really telling the truth, y'all not bulling me, I need you to tell me the dream and its meaning. The wise men say, there's no way. How in the world would we know what you have going on in your mind? How could we know what you've dreamed? They say in Daniel 2, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on the earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever even asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods. And they don't even live here, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. You hear what they're saying? King, there's no stinking way, dude. It would literally take the gods to be able to tell you whatever you dreamed and then its interpretation. But Nebuchadnezzar is not satisfied, and he gives the order, and all of the wise men are being rounded up so that they might be executed. So the popo comes and knocks on Daniel's door and says, Daniel, you and your buddies got to come with me. And he's like, what is this? And he says, well, here's what the king has said. He's had a dream and nobody can interpret it. And so all of you guys, I'm sorry, but that's it for you guys. And Daniel's like, oh, chill, man. Wait. Let me talk to the king. Daniel 2, verse 16. Daniel went in and he requested of the king that he would give him time. King, man, chill. Give me a minute here, dude. Give me some time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Now, here's what I want to ask you. What do you think Daniel planned to do in the time? Oh, we all know what he's going to do. He's going to pray. He's going to go to God and say, God, I need a miracle. God, I need you to show up. And what you're going to find throughout this book that bears his name is that this young college-aged kid learned to pray to a God in heaven in such a way that heaven was moved and earth shook whenever he asked God to move. Daniel talks to God about everything all the time, and please hear me, I'm submitting to you today that I think what Jesus is trying to say to you, the Spirit is trying to call you right now, you into what the Father's calling you into. He's saying to you, I want you to be like Daniel. And you're not too old and you're not too young, you are just right to learn how to talk to God about everything all the time. And so throughout P28 plus one, we're going to learn what it looks like to learn how to pray with a holy roar before God. And today specifically, how do you pray when you need a miracle? Well, with his life on the line, Daniel went to work. And this is what it says in Daniel 2 verse 17. Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You may have heard their names called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same three guys. That's his boys. Those are his ride or die. He goes to them and tells them about the matter so that they might request. Now, if you've got your Bible open, that word request translated, just circle that because it's an intensive word. All right, it means they finna throw down praying. So they're not just praying, they're praying. They're requesting compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So they go to work praying, and look at the last part of verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Wow. Daniel and his friends go and they lift up their voice to God and they ask for a miracle, that heaven was moved and earth was changed. The mystery is revealed. The king's secret dream, the thing that was hidden that nobody could know except God alone, it's revealed to Daniel. The curtain's pulled back. The mystery's unmasked. Any of y'all ever watch Scooby-Doo whenever you were growing up? Right? At the end of the show, they would always say, well, let's see who the villain really is. Oh gosh, Mr. Johnson, right? We would reveal who it was. Daniel, God pulls back the curtain and says, this is what the king dreamed. Actually, God allowed Daniel to have that same dream. God gave it to Daniel so that Daniel now knows what the king had been dreaming and he knows what it means. And I think God wants to answer you in that same way, maybe in the next 28 days plus one. So how do you pray when you need a miracle? Well, I'll give you four ways that Daniel prayed. The first way is he prayed with friends. All right, he prayed with friends. Fellas, listen to me. So many times whenever you got something going on in your life, you don't want to tell nobody. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you're ashamed. Maybe you're too grown to ask for help. All that stuff that I battle with just like you. But he got with his boys, his ride or die, and said, fellas, I need y'all to, y'all need to be lifting me up. We got to be praying. He prays with some of his best friends. There's power in agreement. Here's what a friend can do for you. A friend can cover you whenever you don't have strength to pray, when you don't know what to pray. A friend can cover you. Christy and I have some friends who've asked us in the last few days, hey, would you pray for my marriage? We need a miracle. Would you pray for my relative? Man, we need a miracle. Yes. Yes, we will join with you and pray that way. I'm thinking about what I'm reading in the Old Testament right now, where Moses is supposed to be leading the children of Israel in the battle against the Amalekites, and his job is to hold up the staff. Do y'all remember that? Then if he can hold the staff up, Israel wins. But if his arms get weak and the staff comes down, then Israel loses. Y'all remember that? And Moses is holding up, doing his best, but he starts to get weak. So what happens? His boys come to help him. Aaron and Hur each take an arm, and they lift up his arms. That's what I'm talking about. Don't pray alone. Have somebody who can pray with you and for you. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you can be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Come on, you need a friend who can cover you, agree with you. A friend can also just confirm you. They can say, you know what we're asking for is right. Jesus said this in Matthew 18. You've heard it before, Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Jesus says, if you and a friend are praying and both of y'all believe this is what God wants for us, then you pray for it and it's gonna happen. So that leads me to say, not only do you need some friends, you need a particular kind of friend. Some of y'all need to get a good Pentecostal friend. Oh, hallelujah, y'all know what I'm talking about? You need somebody who got a prayer, you know, they got a direct line, maybe even a direct language with God, that when they pray, man, things happen. So you need somebody who's covering you up. They believe it. Look, I got a prayer friend that I'm 5'9". I've been 5'9 all my life, but the truth is I'm probably gonna be about 5'7 before this thing's all said and done. Where you at, fellas? Y'all feel what I'm talking about? You start going backwards when you get older, right? But I believe if I went to my Pentecostal friend and said, dude, look, I'm 5'9", going on 5'7", but I believe I want to be 6'4". Would you agree with me in prayer? He would say, in Jesus' name. Y'all know what I'm saying? That you need that kind of guy. You need that kind of girl that they'll believe for it, preacher. I believe for it, right? You need somebody who can sometimes agree with you and say, yes, let's have faith for that. But listen to me. Here's the third thing your friend does. They cover you. They confirm you, but sometimes they correct you. Because sometimes you need somebody to look at you and say, preacher, I think you're crazy. I know you want that so badly, but I just don't sense that's what God's doing in your life. And you need somebody who can speak truth to you because you only see things from your perspective, with your slant, with your selfishness. And sometimes you need somebody to look at you and say, man, what if God wanted to do something different? I've got a dear friend who years ago got out of dental school, was thinking about buying into a practice, and he asked a couple of his buddies to pray for him about the deal. And his buddies, after praying, said, dude, we don't think you should do it. We think you should start your own practice. And so he did not go through with what he thought his plan was, and he listened to his friends, and he opened up a flourishing practice today. He's where he is, not because it was his idea, but because two friends cared enough about him to say, dude, I think what you're planning to do is probably not from God. And he listened. Y'all with me? You need some friends to pray with you. And if you don't have a group of people that can pray with you at your campus today, sometime there's a group launch where you could get connected to some people. And you'll hear more about it at the end of the service. But you need a group of people who can pray for you. At the end of the service today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to walk to the front of the room and just have somebody take you by the hand and lay a hand on you and pray for you if that's what you desire. But pray with friends if you need a miracle. Here's the second thing, way you need to pray whenever you need a miracle, and that's pray fervently. Right, all these things are going to start with the letter F because that's the way preachers get down. So pray with friends, pray fervently. To pray fervently means you pray with energy. You lean into this. All right, we're not just kind of, you know, casually drive by praying God. Man, this is God, listen to me. God, listen to me. God, I need you. I told you to circle that word. It's intensive. When they're requesting of God compassion, it's intensive. They're pouring their hearts out to God. They're boiling over. They're praying like their lives depend on it because they do. Think about Jesus praying in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he dies, he's sweating blood. That's how intense Jesus prayed. It's the church in Acts 12 praying for the Apostle Peter who's on death row. And Acts 12 verse 5 says that Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. God, we need you. Brother Peter is dead meat if you don't act now, God. Y'all with me? There's got to be some energy in your praying. So I'm asking you, if you've really got something you want to see God do this month in your life or around you, would you pray with some energy? All right, it starts with just praying about that one thing at 1 o'clock for 1 minute every day. That's what this little bracelet is supposed to remind me of or tell you about. I've got an alarm on my phone at 1 o'clock every day it goes off, and at 1:01 it goes off again. I'm praying for one thing for 1 minute at 1 o'clock every single day. Do it. Do it. If you don't care enough about it to do it, why should God care enough about it to do it? Pray fervently, like it matters. Another aspect of the P28 challenge, if you want to take it to another level, if you're desperate, then I want to encourage you to fast for one 24-hour period each week. So for me, here's what that typically has looked like. I'll eat dinner on Tuesday night, but not eat again until dinner on Wednesday night. And so that 24-hour period is given to asking God for my one thing. And when I feel hunger pains, I say, God, I want you more than I want to eat right now. That's a way you might say, God, I want to pray. I want to just pray. I want to pray for this. another part of the challenge of the P28 is on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Right, at the Res campus, but it'll be streamed, all of us to come together and pray for 1 hour. I'm going to teach about God's character, his name, and how that could help you to pray better. We're going to worship, but would you commit for 1 hour to say, I want to learn how to pray to God about this thing? All right, pray and pray. And y'all with me? We're going to pray with friends. We're going to pray with fervency. We're going to pray with power. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's a good Bible promise, isn't it? I think Daniel may have claimed it. Because Jeremiah wrote before Daniel. He wrote to people like Daniel. And Daniel knew, God, I got to know something that I don't know. And so, God, I'm asking you, show me great and mighty things. A.W. Tozer once said, an invitation to prayer is an invitation to omnipotence, all power. For prayer engages the all-powerful, omnipotent God and brings him into our human affairs. Pray fervently. And then pray with faith. Pray with faith. One of the requirements Jesus gave for our prayers to be answered is that you have faith. You have to believe. I want us to read a verse on the screen, Mark 11, verse 24. And so I want all of us, all campuses, if you're at home, I want us just to read it just so that you say it, you hear it, and your mind has to process this, okay? So would you read this verse out loud with me together? Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Okay. He says, when you pray, you got to believe it's coming. All right? Now, please hear me. That doesn't mean you pray for a Corvette and one's going to be out in the parking lot when you get out of church. That's not what he's saying. Just believe whatever you want to. No, context. Again, two of you believe can agree on anything is touching. What he's saying is whenever you start to pray in a conversation with God and you believe God's telling you, this is what I want you to pray, you believe it. You believe it. And you pray for that. You pray for that healing. You pray for that deliverance. You pray for that freedom. You pray for that open door and you believe it's coming in God's good time. You got to have faith. I've been reading this week in New Testament. I've been reading in Mark's gospel, and Jesus came off the mountain of transfiguration where Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of a different dimension. Jesus is transfigured. They've seen him like we see each other, but that night they got to see him for who he really is. They come down from the mountain, and there's this father who's desperate, and his son's been demon-possessed for a long time, and the demon tries to kill his son. And nobody can throw the demon out, not even the disciples. And so he says to Jesus, I really wish you could help me. And Jesus says, well, how long has this been happening? And this is what the desperate father says in Mark 9:22. He says, he's often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, okay, this guy's saying this to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can. I mean, he's talking to God. He doesn't know he's talking to God. But Jesus is trying to help him say, if you can, all things are possible to him who, what? Believes. You got to believe God is. That God is, and that he can, and that he wants to. You got to believe that he is and that he can and that he wants to, that God is. He is supernatural. There's a very real realm that's supernatural, just as real as this earthly realm. Jesus had been on the mountain of transfiguration where Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of the real Jesus. They got a glimpse into a different dimension. And so I need to just speak into my faith family right here. Man, I love y'all. We see each other. We operate in a dimension of flesh. We got clothes on. Shoes on, you sitting in a chair right now, that's all real. And I believe there's another dimension that's just as real and just as present right now. And it's a spiritual dimension. And if you've never engaged with God in the spirit dimension, you're missing it. All right? That's what you feel in those moments of worship when it's just like, wow, God's here. Yes, yes, yes. Andy's here every day. Andy's here moment by moment. And so what Daniel's trying to get you to do is what you have experienced at times in moments, maybe at church, for you to begin to say, God, I want that all the time, because God says, me too. believe that I am, believe that I can do anything. If I can, all things are possible to him who believes. God can do anything. If he made the mountain, he can move the mountain. We'll talk more about that Wednesday night. If he made the mountain, he can move the mountain. He's the creator. He can do it. He can, and he wants to. This father says, would you have pity on us? Would you treat us with compassion? What did Daniel and his boys say? God, have compassion on us. We're not faithful to God, but he is so faithful to you. And he loves you like crazy. And when you come to him, you say to God, I need you. And I think you want to help me here. God's not mad at me. Jesus took all that. He's not broke off at you. Listen, when you pray, you got to believe he loves you. He is, he can, and he wants to. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so can I talk to my friends up in this room right here, right now? All of us, listen to me, guys, listen to me. God wants to do something deeper in your life. And I know it freaks you out a little bit because it's way outside your comfort zone. And yet God says, I want to make you a man after my heart. I'm talking to some boys in the fraternity house. Listen, I'm with you, dude. Been there, done that. God did a work in my life right where you sit right now. In that season of my life, that's when God turned me around and made me believe that he had more for my life. And so I'm calling you out. I'm calling you into a spiritual life of faith to believe that God can do anything, that he's real, that he can, and that he wants to if you learn to trust him. And Daniel and his friends believed that God could do anything. If you kept on reading in the chapter, you would see that Daniel praised God. And in that praise, he began to say to God, God, I believe you have the power to give and wisdom, and you gave that to me. And I'm asking you, does your God do that? Come on, we're not in church right now. I'm asking you to engage with me. Daniel says, God, I believe you dwell in the secret places, and you know what people do in private places. And God, you know everything. Does your God know that? Daniel says, God, I believe you can move things that nobody else can move. Can your God do that? Come on, let's have some faith. If you're going to see God answer, you got to believe he is, he can, and he wants to do that. Your problem right now may be over your head, and it's out of your hands, but it's still under his feet, isn't it? If God's over everything, it's still under his feet. When Pam Deer walked into that meeting back in August on a Tuesday afternoon and with tears in her eyes, she said, y'all, please pray for us. If we don't get rain in the next couple of days, we're losing everything. She was desperate. And so the five of us in that room began to pray together fervently, focused on one thing, rain, in faith that God could answer. As a matter of fact, when we prayed, we said, God, would you send rain on their fields in Terry, Mississippi? Even if nobody else gets rain, God, send it on their field so that they would know you see them. And what happened the next afternoon? Well, that's a miracle. And I'll let Andy and Pam tell you what that was like, if you'll turn your attention to the screen.
I won't say it won't rain over the next week, but the chances are slim. Every day, we will threaten 100 degrees for a high temperature.
I think the last rain we had here was like first week in July. It's just been so dry and so hot that basically was just killing our crops. I was praying, you know, I said, God, we really need some rain.
We have two crops, so that basically means we get paid twice a year according to what degree of failure we have or don't have. In a nutshell, means we don't get paid this fall. Financially, it's a huge, huge deal.
The last year that was even close to this was 1980.
I have an agronomist. He keeps a watch on our crop all through the year. You know, he doesn't tell us what to do, but he guides us through. But last Tuesday, he looked at the beans and he said, if we don't get some rain this week, he said, you're probably looking at 100% loss.
hate to say the word impossible, but it's basically with the heat that we've had, it's just, it's almost impossible. Lord, we know there's no rain in the forecast. You know, weathermen are saying no rain, but we know you can do it. And so we're just asking you to let it rain on their fields. Let's just send the rain to their fields. I just looked down south and I said, gosh, it looks kind of dark down there. So I called Pam and I said, have you looked at your radar?
I looked at the radar and I saw there was a little green dot there. And I said, I'm going to be like Elijah. I see a little cloud in the sky, so we need to just start praying for rain.
That little green dot started turning yellow and it started turning red and it started getting bigger. I pulled up to the field and got out. And on one end of that field, you could see where there was a rainbow. And it was just a perfect arch all the way to the other side of the field. We know that this isn't the end of the story. Hey, if God heard that prayer, he's not going to stop there. He's going to continue to show how much he's really God. I don't think all this happened just to make us cut a few more bushels of soybeans today. I believe this whole thing happened for a lot of different people, that they'll be encouraged by what God did, he heard our prayer.
And so here's what I want to ask you. Can your God do that? Could he send rain on your request even if nobody else gets rain in February? Believe that he is, that he can, and that he really wants to. And so you plead with him for compassion, plead with him for pity, but know that your God cares. And here's the last way to pray. You need to pray with forever in mind. So you're going to pray with some friends and pray fervently, and you're going to pray with faith, but you're going to pray with forever in mind. And I really think this is the heart of what Daniel chapter 2 is really all about, okay? So there's a sense in which, yeah, we're learning how to pray like Daniel for a miracle, but please don't miss the point that the chapter is about. The reason it's in the Bible is for this last point, that whenever you pray, you need to pray with forever in mind. Your perspective needs to be past just the moment, just the need, just the here and now, just this life of flesh and blood. Your perspective needs to be, I pray with forever in mind and what really matters most. Y'all with me? So this is what the chapter is really about. Daniel got the interpretation of the dream, but so far y'all don't even know what the dream is. So what's the dream? What's the point of the dream? Daniel goes to the king and he tells him, this is the dream. Daniel 2 verse 27, Daniel answered before the king and he said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven. You need to underline that in your Bible. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. Okay, the dream is about the future. You see that? He's let you know what's gonna take place in latter days. God's telling you, King, the future. This was your dream and the visions of your mind while you were on your bed. Verse 31. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue, and that statue was large and of extraordinary splendor. It was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and arms were of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Okay, so think of, you know, the Oscars trophy when people win, you know, best actor, they get the Oscar. Okay, think about that, but it looks something like this. The statue that he sees, this huge statue, head of gold, kind of a body, chest, and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and then feet of iron and clay. Remember, what's the dream about? The future. The future. And I don't have time to go read it for you, but I'm going to summarize the way Daniel says, here's what it means. He says, God's shown you the future. King Nebuchadnezzar, your Babylonian kingdom is the gold head. There's no kingdom like yours. You have all power on this earth under God. And there's going to come after you another kingdom of silver, not as powerful as yours. The Medo-Persian Empire is going to come in. They're going to rule for a while, but ultimately they're going to give way to another kingdom of bronze, the Greek Empire. A guy named Alexander the Great is going to take over the known world in 331 BC, and his soldiers carried shields of bronze, ironically. But after that, there's going to come another world power represented by iron, the Roman Empire. And it was a powerful people, but they lacked self-control, and they're going to implode from the inside. And it's going to give way from after the Roman Empire until the end of time. 10 toes, iron and clay that don't mix together. People are going to vie for power, but they can't come together. We're always going to be fighting each other. That's what the dream was. And you're thinking, that doesn't sound very scary. And that's not, but the dream wasn't done. The scripture goes on to say, Daniel 2, verse 34, you continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. And the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's what's freaking Nebuchadnezzar out. This stone comes out of nowhere and it crushes that beautiful statue, and it's gone and obliterated, never to be remembered. And this stone starts to grow and fill the earth, and he doesn't know, what does that mean? Now I'm asking you, what do you think that stone is? Well, you don't have to make up an answer. It's actually in the book. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 28, 16, God says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Jesus, whenever he was on the earth, said in Matthew 21, 42, Jesus said to them, did you ever read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God's going to be taken away from you and given to people producing the fruit of it. What is he saying? Y'all are rejecting me. You're going to miss out. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Sound familiar? 1 Peter 2, 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, talking about Jesus, come to him as the living stone, which has been rejected by men, but it is choice and precious in the sight of God. What was Daniel trying to say? Nebuchadnezzar, all the kingdoms of this earth are going to fade one day and be crushed by God's king. And one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Y'all, that ain't preacher talk, that's facts. That's facts. And so our perspective then needs to be, your perspective right now, even praying in the middle of whatever it is you really need, God, you know the future. He declares 1,000 years of it to Nebuchadnezzar by statute. And it comes right down the line. God not only knows the future, he controls the future. He's not just aware, he's rising up and bringing down rulers. Nebuchadnezzar, you're king because God lets you be there. And so we listen to me. Some of y'all's P28 is probably the election coming up. Because you're like, oh my gosh, if this one goes in, or if that one doesn't go in, or whatever that is, we're freaking out. Did you hear what the word just said? All of this stuff's going away. Your hope is not in this election. We got to be a people who have a perspective that says, my hope is in God. Okay? Now it's going to impact what we do, but please hear me. I'm not mad at you, but I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you to see from a different perspective that God controls the future and he owns it. He's already declared it. One day this king is coming and he is taking everything out. Verse 44 went on to say, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. And he says, inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without anybody's hands and that it crushed the iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. And listen to me, every bit of it has come true and the rest of it's coming true too. Why am I telling you that? Here's why I'm telling you that. I'm asking you to shift your perspective away from CNN and Fox, away from TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, and let your perspective on life and what you're praying for be informed by the Word of God. The Word of God says, the kingdom of heaven will stand and last. China's going away, Russia's going away, and please hear me. America will go away. I'm not saying we don't love our nation, but I'm saying to you, in this scripture, he's saying to you, your hope can't be here. Kingdoms go away. All this is in this earthly, fleshly world is going away. Now, if that's true, that all of this is going away, including our physical bodies, how then should you pray in light of that, that what matters is God and his kingdom? How then should you pray about your addiction or somebody else's? How should you pray about your relationship? How should you pray about your finances or your health? Here's what I want to submit to you, that when you pray with your forever in mind, it means you begin to pray in faith and you say, God, this is what I'm asking for, but you be glorified in me. And I want you to heal me if that brings you glory, but if it would bring you more glory for me to hold my faith, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I still trust you. God, I'm asking you to come through for me and bring me through, but God, what I really want is for my faith to grow and for you to change me from the inside out. Y'all with me? God, what I long for is your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, even as it is in heaven. Give me a faith in you that is unshakable, that even if you don't come through for me, I still love you and trust you. Come on, the next chapter, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown in the fiery furnace. And you remember what they said? My God can do it, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust him. That's what I'm saying to you. Is that your focus? Where God's good, even if I don't get my way yet. Because all things are coming to pass. And so I want to ask you, would you begin to pray with a holy roar? Get you some friends. And you pray with some power and energy, some intentionality, and you ask God to grow your faith like that father. God, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Jesus, give me faith that you are, you can, and you really want to, but God, I also surrender to you. I'm asking, but I'm surrendering to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, even as it is in heaven. You with me? Come on, across the room. Would you just bow your head? I'm going to lead us to start praying. This is not going to be the end of our prayer. I want to lead you to start praying, because in just a moment, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a song that just says, Jesus, you're the same God. You're the same God. You're the same God. You still hear. You still answer. You still come through. And I'm going to invite you, whenever we stand up during that song, I'm going to have some friends at the front of the room. Listen, if you need a friend to agree with you in prayer, cover you in prayer, come, let them pray with you. Maybe you just turn the front of the church into an altar where you just come before God and say, I surrender to you. I long for you to move, God. Have your way. You with me? We're going to start praying, but we're not going to quit today. And so would you just pray with me right now? Father, we come to you and we ask you to see us, to hear us as we call out to you for a miracle. Would you tell him what your desire is? Name it. Would you ask God to give you faith to believe? He can do it. He wants to move in that situation. God, give me faith to believe. And then would you ask him for trust? That you would surrender that request to him. And to his kingdom come, no matter what. Father, that's our prayer today. We give our lives to you. Not just our request to you, God, we give our lives to you. Lord, we want to know you, and we want you to know us more deeply. And God, grow us in our understanding of how much you love us and how well you already know us, shaping us, making us, everything we're walking through. God, you're right there with us. And some people in this room right now, I know you feel like you're in timeout. You feel like God has pushed you away. And would you hear Daniel say, God was with us still. He is with you still. Call out to him now. Call out to him from where you are in that place, maybe of timeout, and say, God, would you do a work for me? I need a miracle. And God says, yes, yes. And so, Father, as we stand and worship you, just declaring you're the same God, Lord, would you stir our hearts to pray fervently, faithfully, God, focused on you in these next few moments for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.